It's a good day to give thanks and praise to our God. And one of the things that's clear is that we thank God because He deserves it. He deserves it. There's no question. He has earned our praise and thanks because of the mighty works that He has done in our lives. And yet I think that there is even more reason to thank God. That's still the primary reason, and that's not going to change. But I think that God has designed us in such a way that we are to be creatures of thanksgiving. As I read through His Word, He tells us over and over again to give thanks. In fact, at one point He tells us to give thanks continually. He tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, and it's because thanksgiving is a powerful tool, not just to give God praise because He deserves it, but it's a powerful tool to shape our own hearts. What I want to suggest, and I think where we'll see in our text today, is that as we give thanks to God, it reminds us of His goodness and glory in such a powerful way that it keeps us from sin. See, oftentimes the reason for certain sins in my life is because I have forgotten the goodness and the power of God. I can go throughout my day, I can go throughout my week and forget all of the things that God has done for me. And as I forget what God has done, I start to forget what He's able to do. I start to forget that he cares, and then I start to grumble. I start to complain. I start to draw my focus in on me and have a posture of, God, there are things that I deserve that I do not have, and I am going to complain until I get them. And frankly, I can't think of a more un-Christ-like posture and attitude to have, because I want to suggest that complaining is actually the opposite of thanksgiving. That most of the time when I complain, it's because I haven't taken the time to give thanks. I haven't taken the time to reflect on what I have been given. But when I forget what God has done, I turn the focus in on me, and I start to think about all the things that I don't have, and I start to get grumpy, and I start to share my grumpiness with other people. And in the same way that complaining is contagious, thanksgiving is contagious as well. And if we can be a people of thanksgiving, it will help prevent us from being a people of complaint. Because what kind of family do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of the family that gives thanks together, not the family that complains together. I realize that if you have small children, it's hard to be that all the time. But you could still try. You could still try. I'm going to look briefly at Psalm 106 this morning. And I'm going to read through a portion of our psalm, and I'm going to skim through another portion. It starts out, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise?" Answer, nobody. We can't fully declare His praise. We can only partially do it. In other words, we could spend eternity praising Him and we still won't get to the end of the fullness of the praise that He deserves. "But blessed are those who act justly, who always do what's right. Remember me, Lord, when you show your favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise." And so he just starts off with this chorus of praise and his desire to say, I want to be a part of your salvation. I want to be a part of your people because I know how great you are, and your greatness makes me want to be a part of you. And yet, verse 6, we have sinned. even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert, and he saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived, and then they believed his promises and sang his praise. He's just saying, well, the people of Israel have a history of not thanking God. They have a history of forgetting what God has done. There are festivals that were built into the Jewish faith, as they are built into our faith, that are designed to trigger our memories. I'm so thankful that Thanksgiving is a part of the rhythm of our culture, because even yearly it gives us a time and says, you got to remember the goodness that is God. You got to remember the ways in which he has taken care of you. Now, I'd suggest we probably need that in our daily and weekly rhythms of life as well, because the downside is the sin creeps in. I need to be thankful more than just once a year. That's not enough to sustain me as I went through. And we'll see. This is a psalm that's going to give a kind of a flyby history of Israel. But what he says is in verse 13, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. God just delivered them from Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. I mean, these are crazy, awesome things. And yet, just a few years later, you find Israel saying, I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know if he's going to fulfill his promises. Or I want his promises fulfilled now, right now. And they become discontent. And in verses 13 to 15, we see, he's like, and there was a time when your people were wandering in the wilderness and they forgot what you did. And they became discontent that your timeline wasn't quick enough. They're like, why aren't we in the promised land now, God? Why aren't we in the promised land now? And this spirit of discontent, and the text calls it murmuring or grumbling. Or complaining, started to well up within them as a people. And it welled up in them because they forgot. They forgot what God had done. And so they become discontent with their present situation. And they start to be impatient for the promises of God to be fulfilled. Later on in 16 to 18, jealousy is highlighted as some of the people are rebelling against the priests and saying, how come they get theirs that job? I think all of God's people are equal. Why can't we all be priests? And Moses says, like, no, God didn't design us to all be the same. People became discontent with the lot they were given in life. And they started looking at other people's lots. Rather than being thankful for what God had given them and the place God had placed them within, they started looking around them to what other people had. And the task that God had assigned other people, and they became jealous because they forgot that everything that they have is a gift from God. And jealousy turned to idolatry as they grew impatient with Moses on the mountain where he was receiving the Ten Commandments. And while he was up there, that the people built a golden calf and decided to worship that instead, because even in just a few days, the people forgot. They forgot and they built a calf, and Moses comes down and they're worshiping it. They forgot in just a few days. 24 to 27 highlight the time when they went through into the promised land, and they sent the spies over with Joshua and Caleb and their crew, and they came back and they said, no, those people are scary, they're strong, we can't do it. And they came back and said, this promised land stuff, this is a hooey, this is a hoax, we can't do that, because they forgot. They were scared. They were scared of the Canaanites, because they forgot what God had done. 28 to 30, they intermarry with the Moabites and start worshiping Moabite gods and commit apostasy. They even turn away from God completely. They abandoned him completely in favor of other gods because they forgot who he was and what he's done. In 32 to 33, they're in the desert still, and they don't have water, and they start to whine about it. And Moses gets so mad at the people that he's like, "You want water? Fine, water." And he strikes his staff to the rock because he was frustrated that the people wouldn't trust God. And then God gets mad at him for his anger, bans him from the promised land. And see, it's because they forgot. It's because they forgot what God had done. Thankfulness was not a part of their lives. And then the last part of this psalm closes and it says, "And when you were in exile in Babylon, you started acting just like the Babylonians. And you started being drawn into their culture and their God because you forgot what God had done and who he was." But it doesn't close there on the sad part. The psalmist brings us back. It says, "Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry." After his people had ignored him, after his people had forgot of him, he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. "And for their sake he remembered his covenant. And out of his great love he relented." It says, even though they didn't remember him, God still remembered them and the promises that he made to them. Praise God for that. "And he caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Where I want to draw our attention and focus is just to the benefit of thanksgiving. That having thanksgiving be a part of the rhythm of your life as a person, the rhythm of your life as a family, is a valuable tool, because when we are reminded of who God is and what he has done and what he has promised, we're then able to live faithfully as we wait for the fullness of his coming. We aren't distracted into those sins that were listed above. We won't repeat the sins of the past, because thankfulness is one of the tools God has given us. It's a discipline. It's a spiritual discipline that we use. It's a part of prayer, hopefully, in our lives, is that we take some time and just, "God, thank you for these things." Because if we forget, we are in trouble. If we forget, we're likely to turn away. But when we remember and celebrate the good things that God has done, it strengthens our spirit through his spirit so that we can follow him faithfully today. And that's all my sermon for today, because the rest of the sermon is going to take place from all of us here. You notice that you have the leaves in your bulletins, and there are two trees this year. We had such good participation last year. We're like, "We need two trees for all this praise." And what you're going to do is we're going to start off with this first section of declaring his worth. And I think that the leaf color there is, that's orange. So you're starting off with orange. You should have grabbed a pen already, but even if you didn't, we have some extras that are around. And you're going to just, it's finish that sentence on your leaf. "God, we thank you and praise you for being blank." God, we thank you and praise you for being blank. So this is for the attributes of God. So we're not talking about what he's done at this point. We're talking about attributes or character traits. Does that make sense? Attributes or character traits of God that are up there. It can be as simple as one word. You can complete the whole sentence. And then we will have people with microphones out here to the sides. And you will have an opportunity then to share what you wrote on your leaf. I know oftentimes we love to share full stories, and that behind everything is "I'm really grateful for the love of God right now because of this." And that you can share those stories at the table, at your table and at the potluck. But we want to give as many people as possible a chance to share. So what we'd ask is, when you speak into the microphone, just complete the sentence for the time that we're on. If you can fit it on your leaf, you can read it. If it doesn't fit on your leaf, you have to make it shorter. On one side of your leaf. One side of your leaf. It's because we want to give lots of people. Even if you don't want to share, you don't have to. You can still just come up, write your glue, put your, the glue. There's glue sticks back there. Put the glue on the back of your leaf, and then just stick it up on the tree. So there's tree there, tree there. Walk up on the outsides. So from here, you're going to walk up the ramp, down the stairs, from here up on the toward the outside, and then down on that side. Does that make sense? Very well. All right, let us praise God for who he is. As you're ready, you can fill out your leaf and then just walk to the side that is closest to you.